KOB. And the time now is 8:09 on this 3rd of July.
Right.
It's actually an official federal and state holiday.
We're pretending it's 4th, though.
Yeah. We're celebrating the 4th and the 3rd. Yeah. And it's time now for In Your Backyard. Here is Jolene.
And as a salute to our 4th of July holiday and the military salute that we've been doing the previous 2 hours, we've got a special guest with a very unique museum. Dr. Alan Dale Olson is the Secretary for Public Affairs for the Museum of the American Military Family. And it may be the only one of its kind anywhere. Is that correct, Dr. Olson?
As far as we know, Jill, good morning, by the way.
Good morning. Welcome.
It's the only museum we know of that focuses primarily on the mothers and fathers, sons and daughters, and the spouses and other relatives of those who served in our nation's military.
Which is so important. You know, the families that are part of the military family have special needs. So I think what you do addresses some of those special needs. Is that correct?
That is true. We like to collect the stories and preserve them of the people who have really stood behind our nation's military. And so we collect artifacts, stories, we provide programming, and try to make the general public more aware of the kinds of lives that some of these people have to live. They sacrifice too, you know.
Right.
And we also want them to feel welcome and wanted and to know that somehow what they've contributed to our nation will somehow be preserved and passed on to other generations.
So tell us what another thing that makes this museum unique is that it does not have brick and mortar walls yet. Is that correct?
I wish we did, Jill, but so far we don't. We're in a real quest for a permanent home, and we use other venues for our programming. We are still a virtual museum. We're almost 4 years old, and we do have a special collections library, and I want to stress, too, that we consider ourselves a learning center as much as a museum. And museums are places where you keep stuff and show stuff and let people see stuff, but we run programs that range from films and dramas and stage plays and discussion groups and workshops. So we're a learning center, and that's what we want the public to know, and as we look for space, we need a place where we can do these programs.
So you do special events at various locations around the city to focus on the Museum of American Military Family, and I understand that starting very shortly, you have one of those special events coming up. Is that correct?
Oh, yes, we do. On July 11th, just a week from today, we're putting up in the theater of the Butts Theater of the Special Collections Library in Albuquerque a very special exhibit about the schools run by the Department of Defense around the world.
And you have a little bit of history along that line, I believe.
Well, a lot of it's personal because my daughter and my wife both taught in the school systems in Europe. And I was a senior administrator at the headquarters for the school system in Europe for a number of years and served as the Army's liaison to the Defense Department schools in Europe. So, yes, it's true. I have some personal connections with that.
And how important that those children, when they're living overseas while their military family is serving our country, they have a really good educational opportunity. So I think this is so critical and so important. And really, from my experience of talking to people that have had children in the military across, you know, across the world, that these are some of the best schools anywhere.
Well, we like to think that. And of course, when you can choose your teachers and administrators from every state in the country, and most of them really want to do something for their country and to do some traveling and getting around the world, so they're very curious people, creative people. And any time you have a single school with teachers and students who have come from just about everywhere and put them under one roof, dynamic things happen. Most hometown schools are populated by students whose families have been in that town for a considerable length of time. But in the DOD schools, even those which are in the United States, kids have have gone to 3, 4, 5 schools sometimes on their way to graduation.
Right.
Most of them enter the first grade speaking another language besides English. Many of them, and the same is true of teachers, they come from everywhere too. But a good example might be an elementary teacher will open school in September with, say, 25 kids in the classroom. And in June, when school lets out, there'll still be 25 kids in the classroom, but only about half of them will be kids who were there at the beginning of the
right.
season.
Transitional.
So rapid turnover, quick movement, and then they all live on the edge of history, as we like to say. You think back to the Berlin Wall, we had American school kids going to Berlin Elementary and Berlin High School within sight of the wall.
Wow.
When Ferdinand Marcus was overthrown, the schools were put on lockdown along with the bases in the Philippines, so the kids lived right next to where things were happening.
Yeah, they're definitely experiencing history.
Oh, absolutely.
So the special exhibit, Schooling with Uncle Sam, that sounds really, really interesting, and I think it's a great opportunity for families with children who go to traditional schools to come out to that event and learn more about this special, you know, special educational program. Tell us again where it's going to be, when it's going to be, and does it cost?
Glad you asked all those questions and made those points. We even think not only is it important for kids and parents to see the exhibit, we hope some teachers come out and some administrators from the Albuquerque schools so they can get some idea of what these schools are like. And we are in the auditorium of the Special Collections Library at Edith and Central in Northeast.
It's the main library.
No,
it's not the main library.
No, okay.
It's the historic, designated historic building at Edith and Central.
Okay, 423 Central.
423 Central, that's correct. And we'll be open to the public starting July the 11th, and we'll be running through August 22nd. It is free. There is no charge. I like to point out that all the programs we do are free to the public. And we've had programs in the South Broadway Theater. We've had programs at the Nuclear Museum. We've had programs with the Veterans Administration here in town. And all of them are free, which means we're always constantly running fundraising initiatives because we need money to do them. We have an all-volunteer board. And we hope the public comes out and sees our exhibit, and we'll always try to have somebody around to talk to them about it, and the library staff is prepared.
Good. So July 11th through July 22nd, and what are the hours?
Yeah, maybe through August 22nd.
Oh, August 22nd. Wonderful.
About 6 weeks. The library opens at 11 o'clock on Thursdays and goes to 7 o'clock on Thursdays. It's closed Sundays and Mondays. The rest of the week, I think it's open from 10 till 5.
So it's regular library hours for that location.
That's correct.
Cool. Wonderful. Well, it sounds extremely interesting and intriguing, and it's a great way for our folks to experience something unique and different in our own backyard. So thank you, Dr. Olson, for joining In Your Backyard this morning, and great. We hope you have great turnout for every event that you hold there at the museum, for the Museum of the American Military Family.
Thanks, Jill, for the opportunity. We hope to see you there, and happy 4th of July.
The same to you.
All right, it's 8:18. Let's